Thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate you taking the
nah,
time
nah, that's it, man. Unfortunately, all I have at the moment is time. So please, please take my time.
I appreciate it, man. Anyway, so I just want to start off by saying you're in Adelaide right now, yes?
Yeah, Adelaide, yeah, back home, back in my home city, yep.
Yeah, what's the situation like there right now with the whole COVID?
Sorry, broke up the, is that again?
Sorry, I was just asking, what's the situation right now, in Adelaide?
In terms of the COVID you're talking about?
Yeah. So, you guys allowed out,
For everyone who's besides myself, it's pretty. I think it's pretty normal. I haven't been here. I haven't been here since September, so I don't exactly know. But I haven't heard nothing in terms of much change. So it seems pretty normal here. In term, when I say normal as can be. Besides this, I'm in a 2-week lockdown in a hotel. So. Because I just returned from overseas, so the government's thought this is the right thing to do, so they've done this, and yeah. So other than that, I think it's sort of relatively normal out there.
Do you get any like hotel service, or do they like deliver like groceries to you? Like, what's it? Because you're trapped in a room.
It's essentially, it's a 5-star prison. That's what I say to them every day on the phone. So it's the 5-star prison, man. I said. You know, I got the nice room. I got the, you know, you get pretty good food. I'll give them that. It's pretty good food. Decent room. It was just a bit of a shoebox. And your family and friends can bring you stuff. No one can see you. You're not allowed out of your room at any time. You're like 24-hour lockdown. So to me, I said to them, yeah, it's high-star prison, man. Loving it.
Well, you're enjoying your rest, man. Ooh.
Yeah, man, yes and no. You know what I mean? I wish I was home with my family to enjoy this, you know, amazing time of my life, but unfortunately I can't, so I'm stuck here.
Yeah. So one thing I want to start by asking you, man, you've grown up in Adelaide, correct? Right? You were born in Adelaide?
Yeah, born and raised here, man.
Yeah. So I want to, what was like the first thing that got you first involved in like martial arts in Adelaide?
Taekwondo, like most kids around the world, really. You really all started doing taekwondo, and you know, taekwondo, you know, let's be honest, is a very washed out sport, very money controlled sport these days, as most karates are, unfortunately. And yeah, so we didn't really learn martial arts per se there. We stepped away when I was 5, and then we stepped away for a long time. Then we started doing Shotokan karate with my uncle. And once again, that was just like a very karate-based thing. My uncle taught it very well. I'll give it to him, man. He taught it, you know, very old school and very disciplined, and it was good. And then, you know, me and my brother, Sav, we really wanted to, he wanted to step his, you know, martial arts game to the next level. I was playing Aussie rules, so I didn't really care. I just done it for fitness. So he started doing jiu-jitsu, and then that's when really began our martial arts sort of journey. He went over to jiu-jitsu, started training over there, and invited me down one time, and it's a funny story about that. And then I went down there and I just fell in love with it, and never went away again.
Nice, that's really good on you, man. Yeah.
You go first, Jack.
Go on, Jack. Yep. I was just gonna ask, so
come on, boys, one at a time,
different rooms right now.
Go on, Jack. So your name, the Spartan, that comes from your like extreme work ethic in the gym, right?
So my mum, she's Greek, my dad's Italian. I think it comes a bit from that, but yeah, mainly, yeah, my extreme, you know, instead of like, there was a few nicknames I've had over the time. There was, when I used to live in England, the boys at the gym used to call me Tony Workout, because I'd always just be training every day, all day. I've always just had that crazy mentality. Like my dream in mixed martial arts, it's always weird, but I first thought, I was like, man, I'd love one day to be accused of steroids, just so that just shows me how hard I work, that someone's like, yeah, this guy has to be on drugs, like he can't train that hard and not like, you know, fatigue. So that's always been my like goal in life, just to work so hard that it just fears people. Like, people used to hold pads for me. I used to need 2 or 3 pad holders at once because I just want to work so hard, I want to break them. And that was my idea, to even break my pad holders. So, yeah, that was just always my mentality. And I guess when I was finally given the name the Spartan, it just, to me, it stuck. Like, it felt so true. And that's why I've always kept it, I guess.
So you want like the ultimate compliment where like they can only think that it can't just be like it has to be a little special sauce.
It has to be, man, for sure. So that was all, I don't know, it was weird. It was the first thing that ever came to my head. I was like, man, I don't know what it's hard. I don't want to be, you know, accused of throwing. So it's weird. It's a weird one, but yeah, that was just that's my mindset.
It makes sense, but it's cool. For someone that works so hard, what keeps you sane outside of the gym? What keeps you sane?
My friends, my family, and you know, just good food and good coffee. That's the Italian side of me coming out, man. Good food and good coffee. I love it, man. Just having a good time, man. Yeah, I just love having a good time, man. Like, you know, just having a laugh with my friends. And I'm a very immature person, like very immature. I like it that way. I hate being mature. I hate being, you know, growing up and proper. I like to be mucking around and always teasing, like having a, you know, taking the piss out of me and my mates. So yeah, we love it. You know, that's what keeps me sane. It keeps me real. You know, it keeps me grounded. And then, you know, when it's time to go to fight camp, I get to go over to America and step away from it all and yeah, find the whole another me. So yeah, I guess that's what keeps me grounded, I guess.
That's awesome, man. Now looking back at like your history, man, I noticed that you had a boxing career before you progressed to MMA, man. So what made you want to do the transition from boxing to MMA?
Well, actually, I started in jiu-jitsu. Then I had a few MMA fights. Then I went over to boxing. And then I came back to MMA. So I went like in between. So I started firstly with mixed martial arts. I won my first, I had four fights. I had, like I said, four MMA fights. And then, I got an opportunity to go to boxing, pro boxing, from a friend of mine, Simon Alessi, who sort of offered it to us and went over there. And we had, I had six boxing fights. I really stayed with it as long as I did, because I had one fight in Melbourne, I really enjoyed it and I liked it. Then I had another one, and then I offered the Anthony Mundine, Danny Green undercard. So I fought on the undercard in the Adelaide Oval fight. Yeah, that was pretty cool, man. So I was like, you know, and I ran with pro boxing for a while, and I thought, you know, it was a good avenue. I had fun with them. After a while, man, I just realized the pro boxing game ain't what it looks meant to be, man. It's very polluted, very it's very fixed. Let me just put it that way, man. It's very, you know, like I could go into most pro boxing events in Australia and I could almost pick, guarantee 90% of the wins. I could, you know, like easily pick who's going to win and who's going to lose. It's very, very dirty sport like that, you know, which is unfortunate. And that's not me, man. I'm a martial artist, man. If I'm going to lose, I want to get beat up. If I'm going to win, I want to win. I want to beat someone up. So I don't want to be handed no wins. I don't want to be given no victories. You know, and it shows my, you know, my mixed martial arts career. Like, and even for one championship, you know, I fought the world number three, and then I fought a two-time world champion straight in my first two fights. So, you know, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that being said, when you went to one championship, they kind of didn't throw you easy fights, did they? They threw you some pretty like top tier fighters right off the bat, because that was your debut. You were fighting. Well, like some of the best in one.
I fought Peter Boust off my first fight. He's had, I think it was 100 plus kickboxing fights and for 86 wins, and he's also had 20. I think at the time he was 16 and 4. So it was his 21st MMA fight. He was riding like a 6 fight win streak. And you know what I mean? Like he was a dangerous guy. And that was my welcome to one championship fight. And you know, I loved it, man. I loved the experience. You know, it was a tough fight. But at the time, to me, that I have what it takes to you know, hang with the best. You know what I mean? I felt like I went into that fight very underdone, man. I felt like I could have done, you know, a lot of things different, like I proved this time. And yeah, I made a lot of mistakes and I was still able to take it to a 3-round decision. And you know, there was times I felt like I'd, you know, he controlled a lot of that fight, but he won a lot of the fight, you know, and that was the difference. And this fight, I was like, not going to let that happen again. And I made those small adjustments and yeah, it showed, man. It was almost a flawless victory in my eyes with that your last fight. So.
Mm-hmm. Very nice, man. Now, you won your most recent fight against, I hope I say his name right, Edouard Folliang.
Folliang, yeah, something like that. I think it's like Edouard Folliang.
Yeah, and I was gonna say that was a tough fight, man. Like it was just, but you put absolute pressure on him. Now, one thing I realized about you is you're a very pressure-based fighter. When have you discovered this is your style? When did that come into play?
Well, I think it was early on when I was doing jiu-jitsu. Like in jiu-jitsu, I was very much like come forward and more, like love the scrambles, love to just put pressure and break people down. Like I was never physically gifted in terms of like fitness, strength, skill. You know, I never could pull out wild arm bars and Dela Heavers. I would just pressure and break people's will. And once I broke their will, that's when I would submit them, you know. And it worked for me very well in jiu-jitsu. It worked for me early on in my MMA career. And I was like, yeah, this is me, you know, like the pressure, you know. That's why I was going to love that name, The Spartan, because, you know, we just come, even though, you know, you might catch me with a good shot, I'm still going to come and still going to, until you're like, man, this guy's just like, there's something wrong with him, you know, and you want to give up. So, yeah, I guess it's a mentality thing that was taught to me very early on, and yeah.
Good on you, man.
Well, watching back on the Fo Liang fight, you dominate him for the entire fight, I believe. You did a really good mixture of striking, but whenever you would pressure, and then you would go straight back to grappling, take him down. At one point, you did drop him at one point. You did very, very well in that fight. What changed from this fight opposed to your previous fight? Because that was your only loss ever in MMA. What changed for you?
I think the biggest thing for me was, like, my first fight, I felt very, like, as you boys know, and you're probably the first ones that I've had a talk to, an interview within about probably 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that would know Adelaide, you know what I mean? You guys know what Adelaide is. Like, I'll be surprised I wouldn't be surprised if you guys don't even know where Adelaide is.
What are your plans right now? Like, what are you looking forward to? You're going to be taking a little bit of time off, enjoying the Christmas break, or you're hoping to get another fight in before the end of the year?
I think this is the whole situation. There's no, like, I mean, I won't say no chance, but there's minimal chance of another fight. I mean, like, you know, to be stuck, I'm here for another, you know, 9 days. So, you know, to get a fight in, so I don't get out till mid-November, you know, planning to get a fight in, you know, you got to fly around the world, and I'm not with my team. So, no, I don't think I would fight again this year. It's just, you know, with time and the whole situation. So, no, probably, you know, I would like to do late Feb, early March. That will give me time to spend time with my family and then, you know, settle, you know, see everybody, because I turned 30 this year. And, you know, I fight on my terms, man. I fight for when I'm ready, and I want to, you know, I got a chance early on in the year to fight with Falang, which I turned down because, you know, my body wasn't right. You know, then I had a shoulder problem. I was well overweight, you know, and I said no out of respect for Falang. I said, no, he's too good of an opponent to take lightly. And I declined out of respect. So I turned that down. So I fight on my terms, man. I fight when I'm ready. I fight what's right for me. I don't just take fights because I'm being told what to do. And a lot of fighters do that. And if I give any advice to anyone, yeah, don't do that. It doesn't end well.
Oh, okay. So what can you tell me about the shoulder problem? What was it like?
I just had like an AC shoulder problem that happened before my last fight. And yeah, it just took me a good like 8 to 10 months to get over. I was able to, you know, fully rehab it now, and yeah, so I was back to 100%. So luckily, you know, for this fight, I pretty much went into the cage, you know, feeling $1 million. You know what I mean? I really did. Like last fight, I could barely lift my left arm up. Like I couldn't even hang up a t-shirt. I was in that much pain. So it's good now. So it's all back and up and running. And yeah, so now I get to use both sides of my body.
Wow. So that's again, that's pretty ballsy to go in there with a shoulder problem, because like when it comes to injuries, man, you always want it, because all that preparation, all those hours of hard work, and then you got to step inside the cage for 15 minutes in a three round bout. And then all that can just like, just be, you don't want to like, all that can just sort of be jeopardized, but just like one sort of slip up or a tweak. You just don't want to let that get in your way.
Yeah, not to lie, man, you know what I mean? a lot of people, you know, we're going into a lot of times we're fighting injured, you know, there's always something wrong with us, you know, a knee, a back, a hand, or something, you know, I mean, tight muscles, you know, so it's very rare that you're going to go in like feeling $1 million, you know. With this camp, I felt really good going into this fight. Had a few like, few niggles here and there, but nothing major where, you know, like I said, last fight, I could really barely lift my left shoulder up. I was in that much pain, but you know, that's just the job we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very rare that a fighter comes in 100%.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Sure,
a
man, for sure. Yeah.
Wait. So you move frequently to Florida to train as well, correct?
Yeah, so I went over there a few times with the team, and now I've done two camps out of there. And yeah, I was meant to have moved there in April, but yeah, obviously with this whole situation, I was unable to, so which sort of sucks. But yeah, hopefully this will end sooner rather than later, and I'll be able to get over there and do my thing.
What? Why is that you've chosen to move to Florida? Is it under Henry Hooft? Trains at he trains everyone at, is it Hard Knocks 365? Yeah.
It was Hard Knocks 365, and we're now called Sanford MMA. Yeah, right, Sanford MMA.
What has that been like training under Henry?
Oh man, yeah, it's like going from your amateur football club down to, you know, play for AC Milan, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's a massive change, man. Like, you've got a guy who's probably seen thousands and thousands of fights live, you know, coached and cornered hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of fights. You know, an IQ of in terms of, you know, fighting of like no other man. He's literally would be like a surgeon in terms of this. So yeah, under him it's amazing. And you know, it's not only him, but it's the team and the environment that's there too. You know, you're training with, you know, arguably the best team in the world, you know, like without pumping our own tires, you know, we have a team that is, yeah, like unmatched. You know, we've got multiple time world champions, we've got multiple current world champions, multiple ex-world champions, and multiple, you know, top five, if not, you know, top 10 guys in all three of the major promotions, ONE Championship, Bellator, and UFC. And then to finish it off, you got a whole bunch of guys who are looking to either get signed or have recently, you know, just lost their contracts with major promotions who are just as deadly. So, I mean, there's just nowhere to hide in that gym. There's just nothing that you can't get away with. Like, there's always going to be a guy who's better wrestler than you, a better grappler, better striker, you know, you can't help it. There's just everywhere. It's just killer after killer. So it brings your level up and you've got no choice but to get better and to rise with it.
So it's essentially, it's the wolf's den. It's iron sharpens iron. They're all the best fighters there, essentially, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like, honestly, we've got, like...
Sorry, no. Continue. Yeah.
No, I was going to say, most days we've got anywhere between 20 to 40 guys in the mats, you know, with 70% of them, like I said, in the top three promotions, you know, and yeah, it's just like, you just can't help it but get better.
What drew you to ONE Championship over like the other organizations like UFC and Bellator? Because you mentioned though, because some of the fighters in Sanford MMA train, either they're in those promotions like the UFC or Bellator, or they're in ONE Championship. What drew you like specifically to ONE?
I just really enjoyed what ONE was doing. I was really enjoying their like whole philosophy of, you know, I think the UFC were in that period of that whole Conor McGregor, like throwing things through buses and just, it felt like they were turning into the WWE, you know what I mean? Like Brock Lesnar's back. And I was just like, come on, man, what are you guys doing? Like, I really lost a lot of respect for the UFC in that period. I was like, nah, these guys are just, they're just being stupid. I don't even want to work for them. You know, they're dumb. And then, you know, I seen what ONE Championship was doing and, you know, with Demetrius Johnson and Eddie Alvarez and, you know, and the way they were just building their brand. And I really just enjoyed it. I see Chatry as the owner, he would train jiu-jitsu. I mean, he's just a pretty like cool guy. And I just really kept that one. I thought, yeah, it's an awesome, you know, I'm a big fan of Anglar and Martin way before I met him and became teammates. Yeah, and I just thought it was a cool promotion and, yeah, got signed by him. And yeah, so I'm happy to be there and be with. There's a lot of people that ask me the question, oh, is your goal to get into the UFC? I was like, no, like, I'm happy where I'm at, you know what I mean? And plus, another thing is too, like, it's good to have other brands for us, man. And the fighters have to realize that, because the more brands that are out there, the more we have, I guess, bargaining power, we can trade off between different promotions, you know. And you know, if you just got one like standing brand like the UFC, well, unfortunately, we have to become slaves to the UFC, and we have to be like, if they say, hey, we're giving you $5,000 to fight the world champion, you got no choice, do you? You sort of have to take the job. Where if there's many promotions, all of a sudden we've got a bit of bargaining power. So that's what I hope, that all these other brands, even PFL and, you know, LFA in America, and, you know, there's a lot of brands going around now that I hope they come up, man, and then they're just as strong as all the others. Because, like I said, the more the options that are out there for us, the more, you know, opportunities we have.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about fighting in ONE FC, fighting in ONE. Now, when you compete, you compete at 170 pounds. What's the weight cut like for you for ONE? How does it differentiate from your other organizations?
So ONE Championship, the way we do it differently is you must naturally get down to your weight. So you can't. Yeah, so if we fight Friday, we have to weigh in Wednesday and Thursday, and both days we have to hit 170, and both days we have to pass a hydration test. You can hit 170, but be dehydrated and you fail. That's, you know, you didn't make weight. You must go back, rehydrate, cut the weight, then do it. So it's a very difficult process from there. So you don't want to be caught in that position, because then it's very hard, because then you're putting weight on through water and then you're hoping that your hydration comes out clean. So it can be quite a difficult process. And if you don't understand the process, you know, you can struggle with it. Like the first time I weighed in, I struggled with it. I came in nearly a kilo on the weight, but I failed the hydration test. Because here I am trying to get underweight, thinking, oh, if I come under, I'll be all right. And, you know, believe it or not, I was dehydrating myself. So then I came in over, like I said, underweight, but I had failed hydration. But luckily I was under, so I drank about 800 mils of water. I was perfectly 77. Then I just waited, finally went to the toilet. Yeah, all good. And then the next day it was all good again. Where this time it was easy. Like I knew what I was doing. And my weight was great this time. Like honestly, it was so, I actually had to keep eating food to keep my weight up, because I did such a good job this time. And this time I think I came in like 76.4, and my hydration was nearly like perfect, like it's nearly 100%. So that was, you know, good for me. So it's good result. So that's what we want.
So ONE Championship, we know it's unique that it doesn't use any weight cutting. You have to pass a hydration test that you were talking about, but like usually the UFC and Bellator, it's quite negatively spoken about that they really need to have fighters fighting in a depleted, dehydrated state? Are you really going to get the best performance? You've probably done both. How do you feel fighting fully hydrated in much better form for ONE than you were previously in your career?
I never really cut much weight, man. I just always fought at 170. I could have went to 155, but I was like, no, I don't want to put my body. Like, I felt like I was good enough, especially for the Australian scene. I was like, no, I'm good enough at 170. I'll stay here, you know, perform at my best and wait till if I get something. Then worry about dropping weight and all that sort of stuff. So I never really did. So I don't really know what it's like to fight depleted, but I know what it's like for guys who have fought depleted. And it's not good, man. Like, I've trained depleted, and it's not good for your body, man. Like, to take such, you know, to fight fully, you know, energized, hydrated, it hurts. I can only imagine, you know, being depleted, you know, without having that water in where it belongs, and, you know, being dehydrated and, you know, strung out to put on a 15-minute war it could be a bit of a worry, man. There's some guys that, unfortunately, you know, that every fight to them is a meal to them. So they're sort of doing that stuff to sort of survive, and it's sad. So again, that's why hopefully more organizations come up and guys can earn good paychecks, and you'll see less of that, you know, guys being so desperate for fights and for money.
Mm. Now, of your 9 fights in your professional MMA career, have you ever had any of those fights where you sort of like came in, you were like depleted and really lethargic, but you still went in there and got the job done? Like, what goes through your mind when you're in that state?
Oh man, by the time you hit that, like a week out, you're just so like ready to kill someone, honestly. Like, you're so just like, I don't care, man, what's like in front. Like, I remember before one of my fights, I can't remember which fight it was, but I fought Jai Bradney, I got like staff on my shoulder, like for like, yeah, a week and a half before the fight. So I was on antibiotics, I was run down, my body was struggling to get over that. And in my head, I was like, I don't care, man. I'm going to get in. I'm going to kill this guy. And actually, to tell the truth, we went straight in. We're moving around. He stepped forward. I stepped forward. And his shoulder hit me right in the face. And everything just sort of went like black. It was almost like I blacked out for a second. And, I somehow regained my, myself. And I was able to take him down, choke him out. You know, and I was like, yeah. But like I said, it's just war. Once you're in there, man, like, you know, like I said, once you're a week out, once you get backstage, once you hear your music, you know, I don't care. Like, I really don't care who's in there. I don't care what they got. And so I want to kill someone. You know, I want to go and then I want to beat them. You know what I mean? It's like as bad as I can. You know, and yeah, it's a weird feeling because I'm not that sort of person. I'm not, man. If you meet like right now talking to me, I'm like, nah. Like if you ask me, like, oh, Tony, fight me, I'm like, I can't even bother, man. I don't want to hit you, man. I'm like fight week. I just want to beat you up for no reason. So that's why. Come fight week, I don't even talk to any of my friends, my family, because I just want to be like, if they talk to me, I hate them, I just want to abuse them. You know, you get so aggressive, you know, because like another person comes out of me, and I'm like, that's why I really enjoy that. I keep my normal life and my fighting life separate, you know. When I would go to America, that's when I would come, you know, the Spartan, and when I could return back home, this is when I'm Tony, you know what I mean? I get to enjoy my friends, my family, and it's like a switch, you know, it really is. And that's why my song. You know, a lot of people hear it and they love my song. And if you've ever heard my walkout song, it's probably the best walkout song ever. I'm not gonna lie. seriously, you gotta listen to it. It's a good song. And anyway, when that song comes on to me, it's sort of like, yeah, I understand why, you know, that New Zealanders are the haka, man, because it's like you just enter this whole other person, you know, you come like war ready, you know, and it's like, oh, let's do this, you know. And you just want to, like I said, you just want to get in there and you just want to go to war. And you don't really care, even if you win or lose, you just, like, just want to get. I want to see blood. I don't care if they make me bleed. I just want to do something. Like, let's do this. Hurry up. And yes, it's a weird feeling. So that's why fighting to me is a very cool thing. That's why I like doing podcasts. I want people to understand that, you know, us fighters, man, there's no one out there like us. There's no one. There's not even close, man. Now, I love when I watch like other sports like soccer and football now. They're like, oh, warriors, and they're so brave. And I'm just like, I look at them and I think, come on, bruv, like, are you serious? Like, you actually think you're brave? Like, come on. The only guys I'll give it to are the rugby guys. They're tough, man. I ain't mess with those rugby boys. They're some tough dudes, man. But, like, football and soccer, I'm like, come on, dude. Like, you know, like, that's why us fighters, man, yeah, it's something different. Like, we do it for, like, minimum wage. And, you know, we don't know what's going to happen to us in that fight, man. We really don't know.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like fighters and it's a different kind of breed of athlete. It's, you know, a lot of the time in soccer and things like that, they'll exaggerate how bad they're feeling in order to get a foul, to get a kick. It's a different type of strategy. Whereas a fighter has to hide that they're hurt sometimes.
Yeah.
So that the ref doesn't come in. Yeah.
Yeah. You see it. I even thought I was in New York seeing that guy, one of the boys got kicked in the nuts, and I was saying about it and I was saying, you know, and you don't even want to stop. You're like, oh, man, it hurts so bad. But like, I don't want to stop, man. I want to keep fighting. Like, I don't want to, like, come on, hurry up. But sometimes you need that breath, you know what I mean? Like, you just got kicked in the nuts, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I did my fight. I got kicked in the nuts twice. And I was like, man, you just got serious? Like, you see the second time, I look at the referee. Like, is he fucking serious? And I didn't want to stop. So I was like, man, fuck this. And I was like, just keep going, you know what I mean? And that's just the game where, you know, most of those guys, it's like, you know, they get a little, you know, roll their ankle and they start crying and this, you know, it's the end of the world for them. It's like for us boys, like you see guys, like look at what's his name, Thiago Silva. I was just listening before his last fight, you know, he fought John Jones. Man, I don't know if you guys know, like what he did to his leg, like he broke his bones, tore his whole entire, and he just kept fighting. I'm like, that's just fighters, man. That's how we are. Like we just want to get in there. Like I said, to come in that last week, and especially when you're in that fight, you don't care what's happening to you. You just want to have war. So
Well, you're talking a lot about like going through injuries and you're talking about getting hurt and all those sorts of things. What was the biggest like test for you physically during your career?
Physically, I mean, I've never really had any big major setbacks in terms of physical stuff. I broke my hand, but you know, I was at a fight and I broke my hand and I always knew I was going to come back fine from it. Yeah, I don't really know. I wouldn't say, like, physically, I've never really been like too much tested in terms of as in a bad way. Like, of course, you get tested physically every day at training. Yeah, but yeah, in terms of physical, yeah, no, like nothing major setbacks. And that this really, you know, like even when I hurt my shoulder, I was like, I don't care, like I'm just gonna keep training. It wasn't until like I couldn't even lift my arm up, like I was literally having to use my right arm to pick my left arm up. I was like, okay, I have to do something about this. Like I actually can't physically operate now during the day, so something needs to get done. Yeah, so physically, not really, no.
Nice. Good on you, man. Yeah.
So when it comes to, so you fight in the welterweight division of 1FC, what do you feel
It's the lightweight division. I know it gets confusing, but we're technically lightweights.
Yeah.
So we are classified as lightweights, but yeah.
But it's like 170 in
it's pretty much everything just goes down one.
It gets a bit confusing because then on the screen it'll say lightweight, but then you're like, did they make a, make a mistake? So you fight at 170 in the lightweight division of one. What do you feel makes you a bit like different from any other fighter in that division?
Honestly, I don't know. I know most fighters are gonna say, but for me, I just feel like here, man, like here, when I'm on, like I'm untouchable, man. Like when I'm on, I just feel like I'm dangerous. I'm a whole other person, man. And saying that, like I could just sit there all day and practice skills all day. Like that's something. So I feel like here, you know, when I'm on, I'm super dangerous and deadly. But you know, the best thing I love about me is I just love like skills, man. I love being polished and refined and find that perfect jab, that nice right hand. And you know, also like to compliment here is the tactics, man. I love like seeing a fighter, picking him apart, you know, working out all his what he's good at, what he's bad at, and then closing him down and shutting him down and finishing him off. And you know, and that's what I feel is different. And that's what I was able to do this fight. Last fight up, I was very mentally and physically fatigued and I wasn't able to use my mind and I was just doing things on impulse. And watching that fight back, I get very, very frustrated because I know I shouldn't be doing that stuff. But I know at the time I was so, you know, worn out, so tired, I was just doing stuff to do stuff. Where this fight, it was completely different. Every second of that fight, I can vividly remember being in it. You know, after watching back, I remember that bit, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know exactly what I was trying to do in each part of the fight. So when I'm at that state, when I'm mentally on and to go with my physical attributes of my pressure, like, yeah, I feel like I can be, you know, like one of the best guys in the world. I really do. And that's what this fight, you know, taught me was, yeah, man, like, yeah, you are, like, you are world class. Before that, I was a bit like, am I? I don't know. But I'm the sort of guy, I'm stupid enough to roll the dice. I'm dumb enough, you know what I mean? I'm that sort of guy. I always have been, you know, like, you know, sometimes I'll know, like, oh man, I don't think I've got a chance. But I was like, yeah, fuck it, just give it a go. You know, what's the worst that can happen? You get knocked out, like, you know, so what?
It sounds like their mental state, but like just the love of the game is the one that like sets you above everyone. It sounds like you love training and you're obsessed with something good like training.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with martial arts and I'm obsessed with being different, man. I want to be different. I hate the same. I hate everyone being the same. Everyone talking the same, dressing the same, and you know, like, you know, you see a lot of it now, like, you know, a lot of footballers and other sports are very like uniform. Everyone, like, you watch AFL now, it's like no player has a personality anymore, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they're just all the same, they all talk the same, dress the same. You know, you can't say anything out of order because the club's going to tell you off. But you see fighters, you know, like, you got your Nick Diaz, who's, you know, he's so raw and real. Then you've got Conor McGregor. Then you've got Khabib. You know, and you got all these great, great personalities and that are raw and real. And they're just talking from themselves. And no one's behind them dictating their conversation. And that's why, once again, why I like podcasts. That's why I like fighting, is because we're very raw and we're just emotional people. We just say what's in our mind. And, you know, that's one thing that really drew me away from every other sport and brought me purely to fighting was that, you know, we're just raw, real. Like, we've laid all on the, you know, we all lay it all out, ready to go on that day. You know, and we're not pre-rehearsed, and we haven't got something in the back of our mind. Yeah, some guys do. They got stuff they want to get off their mind for sure. But yeah, most of us are very just like raw, and that's why you see, like, you know, great personalities like Conor McGregor. Whether you hate him or love him, he's awesome. He's an entertainer. You know, and you know, guys like Floyd Mayweather, they're great. You know what I mean? Some people cringe at him. To me, I just say awesome, like, all the power to them. Like, yeah, sometimes I think some of the stuff they do is dumb, but at the same time, it's cool because they're different and I like it.
Yeah. Where do you think this desire to be different came from? Was it something that you sort of followed you through your childhood?
I think it was definitely from my dad, man. My dad was always that very like center of attention, like always a funny guy, telling a funny story, but at the same time always like pushed us to be that way. Like, come on boys, I'll be funny. You know, he made us learn, you know, music. He made us all like play sports. Like, we all played soccer, basketball, football. We all learned how to play the guitar. We all learned how to play the piano, the drums. You know, if you met my two other brothers, they're just as crazy as I am. They've had, you know, MMA fights. They're both brown belts in jiu-jitsu. You know, very musically talented. The oldest one, Diego, he's a lawyer. You know, then he's also now owns his own business. The middle brother, Sav, he's just, if you met him, I mean, you boys would, if you get a chance, write this down, look up Sub's World on Instagram and YouTube and all that, and trust me, you'll actually be like, oh my god, like, is this guy serious? And let me tell you, he's dead set serious. That's my brother. He's crazy, he's out there. Like today, for instance, I ring him, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I just finished playing. I said, what do you mean? He's like, oh, I play every Sunday, he plays in the driveway. He sets up all these big speakers with his guitar, and he plays in his jocks, and he plays, you know, he's a concert in the driveway, and he's crazy, man. He loves it. And I'm like, good on you, man. Like, you're different. I'm, you know, people would say he's an idiot and he's a weirdo, but I'm like, why? It's just music, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, well, what's the problem with it? You know what I mean? Like, I don't see, like, you boys, you know, do your podcast. It's great. Like, everyone should just chase their dreams. And what if you like that, do it. I don't care what someone else, like, people, I know for a fact, people would say about me, like, why do you fight? Well, why would you want to get beat up? And I'm like, because I want to. Like, why would you get a normal job and just go sit in an office? Like, I don't get it, but I don't question it. You do that, I'll do my job, you know? And it's just something that, I don't know, yeah, over the years, it's just like, why does everyone want to be the same? Why don't you, like, just get married and get a job and see you later? Like, I want to be that guy that walks out of a room and everyone goes, that guy's alive, bro. He just made up every one of those stories. He's so full of shit. But deep down, I'm like, bro, that was the truth. Like, that really, like, me and my brother, especially my middle brother, I've traveled the world, been to 38 different countries. Like, I've fought all over the world, man. Like, man, I got some, you know, some crazy times, and I fear that they can never take away from me, man. And that's what life's all about. My dad really, like, pushed that to us. Like, boys, you got to do everything. You got to live your dream. You got to, you know, don't let life hold you back. And, yeah, it's just something that my dad drummed us from young kids. And, yeah, we just want to live a life of a rock star, man. And I'm trying to my best ability and, yeah, loving every minute of it.
It sounds like, you know, like your dad, your uncle, your brothers, they're all very much into martial arts and sport and very much about like pushing at the limit. Do you feel like your dad probably is like your biggest positive kind of like the dude in your corner the most?
When it comes, like, it's funny because like my dad is my biggest inspiration, my like massive, like he does everything for my dad. Like this here, this bad boy here, what I won, this is my biggest achievement in life is right here. Was my one championship medallion that I sit here on my desk every day while I'm stuck in isolation. And that's my dad, you know what I mean? That's my biggest inspiration and like my biggest achievement in life is that. And that goes to my dad. Like that's my dad's, that's my piece of my heart that I, you know, honestly, I give a piece of my life. I say that to people. I sold my soul to do what I do for like this life that I live. I really do. I feel like I sold my soul for this life because that's how cool it is. And that's a bit of my heart right there. And I give it to my dad, man, because my dad, honestly, he done so much for us as kids, man. And he grew us up and got us to this place. I got to just explain to you. And that's for him, you know what I mean? And yeah, my dad's a massive driving force. But in terms of like sporting ability, no, my dad had no attributes. No sporting ability. He alleges he was a good street fighter. That's his claim to fame. He alleges he had a few good street fights, but in terms of real martial arts, nothing like that. That's why he pushed us to do it because he believes he should have done it. He goes, I should have been, you know, a sports person. I never did it because my grandfather, who was an Italian, he didn't allow my dad to do that because, you know, he comes from that old school mentality, get a job. So he pushed my dad straight into a work. My dad never got to live his life. So then my dad's like, I'm not going to let my kids go through that same thing. I want my kids to do everything that I didn't do. And yeah, my dad pushed us to exceed and do everything that he dreamt of. And yeah, like, I got to thank him for it. That's why, like I said, the biggest achievement of my life goes to my dad.
That's awesome, man.
Very, very cool.
I was going to say, like, because growing up in that background, you know, around boys all the time with your dad and you got all this competition, you're always pushing each other. Now, out of the three siblings, you're the one who has made it to such a high level. What was the point in your life where you realized, all right, I'm going to be a fucking good fighter and I'm going to do this for a living? What was like that spark that got you going?
You know what, to be honest, man, and I know you're going to be like, nah, he's just saying that. Honestly, October 30 was the day. A couple of weeks ago was the day that I was like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like everyone around me was telling me, everyone, like my family, my friends, a very, very good friend of mine, Tom Cosmetis, who's backed me since day one, X-Convenience, so shout out to X-Convenience. He also owns them, but me and him have known each other for years. I started working for him, became very close friends, and now we're like, we are family. And he was been telling me for years, coaches like my Sam Benetti, Peter O'Shea, Don McKay, Lee Jen, all these people around me telling Tony, yeah, you can make it, Tony, you're a beast. And I was like, nah, man, nah. You know, they said I was trying to get away from this for years. I didn't want to do it, man. I was like, nah, I don't want to be a fighter. And honestly, you know, I just, like I said, I'm stupid enough to just try things. I'm like, all right, if you think I'm good enough, I'll give it a go. So I just keep getting in the cage and fighting these guys. Like I said, I just love to train. So for me, I was always super fit, super strong, but I never believed that I could turn into a career until, honestly, October 30th. And I knew that was the day. I said to myself, side of that camp said, Tony, you win this fight, A, the world is going to know who you are. They're going to know your fucking name. And B, they're going to pay you respect. And most of all, we're going to be like, it's true to me now. Now I know that I'm world class. I know that I have what it takes to be a world champion. I know that for a fact now. And now, that's why I said anyone in that 170 division, like, be careful, man, because once I get that belief, man, like, yous are all in trouble. Like, prior to that, man, I was fighting on like 20%. Like I'm not even there mentally. Now I'm here, man. So, you know, watch out because there's, you know, now you got problems. And I'm telling that to everyone, you know what I mean? Because even when I won the fight, like I, you know, you see me after the fight, I'm sort of like in a bit of disbelief. Like, oh my God, man, like I actually just won. Like I couldn't believe it. And I got the medallion after the fight. And I'm looking at it going like, man, I've actually got this thing in my hands. Like it blew my mind. I'm a kid from Adelaide, man. I just fought in front of like millions and millions of people all over the world. And, you know, it was freaking me out. And I walked outside and I was like, even said to the security guard, I was like, man, like, I just won. And he was laughing. Then I got in the taxi, I went back to the room. I sat down. I was like, well, like, when are we going back to training? Now we begin. Now the journey begins. Now we begin the takeover of the world. And it was on, and people ringing me from back home. They're going crazy. Like at my house, my brother was saying there's probably like 100 people there in the driveway. It was crazy. The big screen up on the wall, that flares. People were chanting, going crazy. It was insane. Like I'll put a video up hopefully soon on my Instagram of all the people at my house, and it was going absolutely bonkers. And everyone's ringing me and they're going, oh Tony, I bet you're going crazy. Like we're going crazy. I can't believe you won. And I literally was sitting there and I said, look, I don't want to sound arrogant, but I'm like, I told you so. Like, I really did. I told you that this is what was going to happen. Like, this is my destiny. Like, I really, like, that's one thing that always kept me coming back was as much as I try to run away from it, deep down, man, deep down in my heart, man, there's like a yearning that says, man, like, you need to fight. Like, you are a fighter. Like, get out there and fight. And that's why the name is Spartan, man. It rings to me because I'm like, I swear in some past life, oh, it must have been some warrior, man. It's like, it won't go away, man. It's like this thing in my heart that won't leave me alone. I'm like, bro, I don't want to get hit. I don't want to hit anyone. But I'm like, then when I get in there, I'm like, man, I just want to kill someone. Like, who can we kill? Who gets it first? Yeah, so it's a very mentally weird roller coaster, this ride, man. I got to admit it. Like, it's a crazy, crazy roller coaster.
So that October 30th, that's like reaffirmed everything you had in your head. Yeah, it's reaffirmed.
Yeah, man.
And
it was that battle. Sorry.
No, you were good. I was just going to say, like, now that it's like reaffirmed in your head, what's next? You said you didn't really want to fight this year. Obviously, you're hoping for a fight next year. Is there anyone in the division that you're thinking of, or you just whoever they give you?
I mean, I'll wait for one championship to get back to me and see what they say. But I mean, one fight that I'd love to see is I'd love to fight Eddie Alvarez. He's a legend and he's a great name, man. He's a cool dude, man. I'd love to get a chance at him. That'd be a fun fight. Get a kid from Adelaide to fight a ex-UFC and Bellator world champion. That'd be pretty cool. But yeah, anyone that won championship want to put forward to me, I'm you know, open to ideas. But yeah, for now it's just sit back. I'll go my team will talk. I'll sit down with my family and just enjoy a bit of time off, and then go from there, I guess.
Brilliant.
So what's the plan then for the next year or the next couple of years? Are you hoping to sort of stay in one and dominate the division, or you're hoping to maybe progress to another division, or
what's the game plan? Yeah, it's hard to say. I never look too far forward into the future. I'm very much a day by day sort of guy. So yeah, man, definitely I want to stay with one championship. You know, I like I said, I'm really enjoying my time there. But yeah, I'm always open to ideas, man. If better, you know, offers come from, it doesn't have to be, you know, the UFC, it can be anywhere. Whoever's got the better offers, the better opportunities for me, I'm going to follow. But yeah, like I said, I really enjoyed my time at ONE Championship and I'm enjoying it, and I would like to stay there. But when that crossroad comes, we'll worry about it then. But till then, we'll just enjoy what we've got in front of us.
Yeah, that sounds really, really, really good. All right. Glad you got to speak to us. It was really, really cool to speak to you. This is the first time
I've been a
fighter. So it was brilliant that it was one FC fighter, and it was also a fellow Australian. So that was really, really
good. That's it, man. Now, I love what you boys are doing, man. You boys keep doing your thing. Eh? Be different. Don't let anyone stop your enthusiasm, all right? Keep rocking on, boys.
Thank you. I can't wait to see you at the very top. I can't wait till you've got that big gold belt around your waist.
Yeah, when I win the world title, boys, we'll do an interview then again, eh? I'll fly up to you boys and we'll do it then.
Yes. If you ever come to Perth one day, dude, fuck it. I don't give a shit. We'll pay for your accommodation. We'll have a sit down. We'll fucking, you can do whatever it is.
I've fought in Perth a few times. I fought in Perth a couple of times. Was it for the
MMA that you came to Perth?
No, I fought in a boxing fight up there. I fought twice at the what's that big place? It's like the big rave nightclub looking thing.
Metro City.
That's the one, I reckon. Yeah, Metro City.
Did you fight for Dragonfire Boxing Organization?
Yeah, Dragonfire Boxing. Yeah.
They're very popular around here.
So if I'm ever up in Perth, boys, I'll be sure to let you know.
Thank you very much, man. All right, good luck with the quarantine. I hope you're going to be okay. It sounds like you're probably going to be like a lot of like in-room quarantine, like workouts.
Yeah,
probably, man, shadow boxing like crazy.
Bro, I get the bed here and I flip it up against the wall and then I do a training. Yeah, bro, I turn the heater up to 32. I put the sweatsuit on, man. I just get training, man. It's the only thing that gets me through the day. So you boys helped. It took about an hour or so of it. So that's good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, all the best, Tony. Take care, buddy.
Really well. Easy, boys. All right, boys. Thank you. Have a good one. All right.
You too.
See you, boys.
Bye.